Hello and welcome to this week's Quick Reset. You know that thing that your child does that makes your blood boil? The whining, the defiance, the full body meltdown over the wrong bowl or the wrong spoon? Maybe they threw their shoe at you when you asked them to put them on before school. Before you shame yourself for feeling so angry at the time or you snap at them, I want you to think about this. Are you reacting to their behavior or are you reacting to the version of you that was not allowed to exist? Because this isn't just parenting stress, it's actually trauma echoing in your nervous system and it's finally asking to be seen. If you are a late diagnosed neurodivergent woman, which pretty much all of the listeners are, the chances are that you grew up being rewarded for being easy, air quoting. You may not have thrown tantrums, maybe you cooperated. You didn't show rage, you didn't throw things, you didn't scream at anybody, but maybe you shut down. Maybe you were praised for being the calm one, the helpful one, the person that waited. Maybe you burned alive inside as you did that. Maybe you put on the shoes and the socks and the scratchy jumper and you didn't say a word. Maybe you didn't lose your jumper every single term like your child does because you were so terrified of having to show up at home without that jumper, that you were overly stressed with anxiety, locating it every single day, because it was so difficult for your neurodivergent brain. But now, you seem to be raising a child that hasn't learnt to hide that. So maybe when they scream, resist, spiral, it doesn't just feel hard, it feels personal. It gets you angry because maybe your body remembered what happens to little girls who acted that way. Maybe you remember what happened to you. I remember when my daughter hit prep for the first time and I had three children under five and daycare felt so much easier. The food was provided. You could show up really at varied times. There was no bell. There was no uniform requirements. It was totally different. And I remember attempting to get my daughter ready for school in the first term of prep and she had never consistently worn shoes before. And just remember, we live on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, so that's a lot more accepted than what it would be in other parts of Australia. A lot of the kids walk around without shoes pretty much all the time. And with three small children under five, it felt easier to just let her walk without shoes. Why worry about it? However, we had to have shoes in prep, and she had a huge sensory preference with socks and shoes. She's nearly 10 years old, and the battle on shoes is still happening. One of my best friends comes and stays with us for about a week every year. And she said to me, I have never seen anything like the shoe situation that you have with your daughter. There's no other word for it than soul destroying. And when she started prep, it would take 90 minutes, 90 minutes, to even get any shoes and socks on. A lot of the time I would drop her to the teacher. I would be crying. And I would apologize and just leave her with the shoes and socks because I could not deal with it. She had two younger brothers and I just thought, put the shoes and socks on. Look what I'm dealing with. Your brothers are so much younger. Wear the socks. It was rage. And yes, that's frustrating. It got me so angry. And really underneath that, if I unpack that, it felt like me when I was young. In the school shoes that were leather and hard, the regulation socks that always had lumps in them. But the rule was don't complain, be good, smile, put your shoes on and quickly. And I never, ever crossed it. We never were late. It was a different type of parenting back then. And it wasn't necessarily a good thing and it wasn't necessarily better if we look at the mental health of our generation. But this whole thing around the socks really triggered me. And it was the fact that she felt free to feel it. She wouldn't comply. And I was never free to feel it. And I always complied. So what is this? This is actually what we call mirrored trauma. And it's not just emotional. It's deeply neurological. And this is why sometimes us or our partners behave in ways that we can't understand. We know that behavior is communication, and when kids are stressed, they don't say with words, I'm stressed. They say it with volume, with movement, with defiance, with withdrawal. Their bodies scream what they don't necessarily have the language to name. And we see that happen at schools, and we see that happen at home. And this is where it gets personal. There are parts of ourselves that we had to suppress to stay connected, whether it's rage, neediness, sensitivity, and it can feel really intolerable when we see it in others. So why is that? Because their expression threatens the fragile version of safety that we spent decades building. So when your child yells, melts down, refuses to comply, throws something at you, you're not just reacting to their behavior, you're reacting to the memory of what that behavior cost you. Your nervous system remembers, that got me punished, that got me sent to my room. You may have lived in a generation where that got me smacked. I had the belt because of that. I had this happen. If I refused dinner, I didn't get to eat. Or it might be smaller than that, but still those small eroding traumas, those small ones that let you know you shouldn't behave like that. That got me labeled dramatic, sent to my room, too much, ungrateful. You may have been taught that safety comes from shrinking. So now seeing someone else taking up that space, especially someone that you love, doesn't feel liberating. It doesn't feel like you're doing a better job with that generation, especially if you're the one who made the dinner. You put time, you put effort into it, maybe effort that your parents didn't give you. Maybe you even went above and beyond. You took your child to the shops, they picked it, you cooked it together, and now they're saying it smells different, it looks different. How angry does that get us? I'm going to call a spade. It makes me livid. When I follow all of the advice with my children who I struggle to feed, who are incredibly picky, when I do all of the advice, I take them shopping, which I don't like, I cook with them, which I hate, to serve it up, to have them not eat it, I have to go outside and I have to take deep breaths because I want to implode. I cannot stand it. But even when your adult brain says, this is fine, that's okay, I'm following the advice of professionals, your body may be sounding the alarm. But that's not because you're failing, you're losing your temper, you're being unreasonable, you're a bad mum. You actually are doing exactly what your body was trained you to do. And that is protect you and protect your child. You feel danger when your child reacts like that, as if whoever it was, your figure in your life is coming back down to do what was done to you. So quick reset, what can we do about this in the moment? Number one, we name the pattern, and that may be in our heads. When you feel that wave of heat, maybe it's anger, rage, shut down, however that looks for you, say to yourself, they are doing what I wasn't allowed to do, and this is why this feels big. The awareness of knowing that will defuse the shame and it will give your inner child just a moment of compassion. Now, if you are in a partnership with somebody else and you're watching them get to this moment because they are triggered off, or you've got your child's grandparents because you don't necessarily understand their childhood, and having that person say to you things like, they need more discipline, they need this, but they may be coming from a place of their own trauma, like this is what was done to me. Oh my God, don't let your child do that. That's dangerous. It doesn't come across like that, but some of those old school beliefs and advice, I believe, come from a lot of fear. Not to say that it isn't annoying, jarring, and really fills you with rage at the time, but there is a level of understanding that I've come to when I've really researched this around why do we sometimes get that feedback from grandparents and in-laws? Is it their own upbringing that they are triggered off from? Is it really that they think that you are a terrible mother and you need to discipline your child more? Or is it coming from a fear and trauma response of them watching that child that they love, their grandchild, behaving like that and feeling a sense of fear and trauma and going, oh my God, you can't let your child do that? So when authenticity threatens attachment, children will suppress parts of themselves that aren't tolerated. But the parts of those children don't die, they go underground. So if we look at how authenticity starts to threaten attachment, when you were a child, when you did things that weren't tolerated, you suppressed them. So when your child expresses those traits that you have suppressed, rage, need, hypersensitivity, they can reawaken those really small parts of you that you have not let come out in a long time. And as your body experiences those rising, it feels like it's a threat. Even though your adult brain knows it's safe, your body experiences that as a threat. And that can kick off those big reactions. So we know that when those stresses become chronic, that can start to look like a survival response. The irritation, the rage, it's not a flaw in your parenting. It can be a conditioned response. That is why your child's emotional honesty can feel unbearable. You're not just witnessing them being dysregulated, you're experiencing your own unmet needs. So, what can we do about it? Number two is a self-check-in for performance parenting. So, am I reacting because this is unsafe or because it looks bad to others, even if there's no one around me? Is this truly about them? Or is this still a part of me that wants to be seen as good? What am I doing in this moment and is it important and why are they kicking off? Am I pushing an old rule from my parent or my old teacher onto my child? Or is this really important for me right now? Number three, you may want to look at co-regulation instead of correction. So instead of saying calm down or stop overreacting, just hurry up, have a look at saying, I get it. This is a lot, isn't it? Do you want a hug or do you want space? Your feelings make sense. Let's work out what you need. So these aren't just phrases. This is actually counter-conditioning. This is teaching your body that emotional honesty doesn't ruin connection, but it can actually build it. And this is gold for your children. Number four, start to journal the forbidden trait. Now, at the end of the day, one of the things that I've done which changed my life was I started to write down what I was triggered by with my children. Now, I had one child who I actually had to write a diary about for 3 years. I'm not talking about a long journal entry. It was today I was most triggered by. And I would actually start to recognize what it was that they were doing that was setting me off. And then I started to move as I progressed with this about what they did that day that was good. Now, when you are particularly triggered, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes all I had was, they looked cute in the hat. Or I was able to brush my teeth today because they didn't jump onto the kitchen bench and jump off as soon as I left the room. Like, it can be really hard to actually find good things to say. And it was so difficult to attach or to feel a way about one other child and feel a completely different way about another and not let it be obvious. Having a journal has been really important. And if that's you and you have that child that you feel like that with, I would tell you hands down on my children right now, I swear, I actually have, if not more positive feelings towards that child than the other two. At times, they're actually my favorite. And it can take time, but it can be built. But sometimes I felt like I was in such a negative spiral, I couldn't find anything nice to say, and I had to start really small. If you have a child that is showing you behavior that you really, really, really can't stand, it may be a part of you that you were never safe enough to show. That's not shameful, but that's information. And the next time that your child's big feelings light you up inside with rage, pause and ask, am I parenting them or am I trying to silence a younger version of me? Because the most powerful thing we can do for our kids is not just to teach them regulation, but to reclaim our right to feel as well. And for a lot of us, it can feel like we just started growing up as we had children. You're allowed to be a work in progress and you're still powerful. Only the most committed mums listen to audios about being a great mum. I'm going to be right here next week, the next time you need a reset. Tune in. Thank you so much for listening.